Awesome. Well, listen, everybody, it's great to be here. I'm so glad to be back, and love you guys, love being amongst you here. I know I'm speaking for Pastor Lindsay as well as for Phil and Matt and myself, Chris and Emma. We're just so glad to be here. Some of you I haven't seen for, since I opened my Facebook account. No, it has. Some of you I literally haven't seen for years, so it's really nice to get caught up and then to be with you today. I was talking to your pastor, Keith, hardworking guy, and he was telling me about his schedule this summer. I said, man, you need to get away for another weekend. How can we make that happen? And so it just so happened that our former worship pastor, who I'm mentoring in preaching, volunteered to speak at my church, and I thought, hey, let me take this from you. So hopefully Pastor Keith and his wife and kids are out doing something fun. Last couple of years, I've been teaching a church workshop, and I call it Hearing God. And in this workshop, we teach people just in very practical ways how to sense and how to discern and how to test the way that God will sometimes bring thoughts or words or even pictures to mind in order to guide us, encourage us, and lead us into His truth. Essentially, just giving us the benefit of God's wisdom, And this message is taken from that Hearing God workshop, and it's called Two Voices. So something that I have noticed in my ministry is that, Christians are not only dialing into the voice of God, but Christians are sometimes also hearing from someone else, if you know what I mean. There was a woman who I was talking to a couple of years ago, and she got in touch with me and she said, Pastor, I got to tell you something. She says, I'm just having terrible thoughts this week. I said, what's going through your mind? And she mentioned that her thoughts were saying things like, you're a terrible mother. You'll never amount to anything. God has abandoned you. And I said, well, do you think that those thoughts could be coming from somewhere? Like, I don't know, maybe the enemy of your soul? And I taught her some of the things that we're going to talk about this morning, and things got really better for her in a hurry. I had a young man in my office at about the same time, and he said, Steve, I have all these terrible thoughts that always run through my mind. I can't sleep. I'm worried all the time. I said, what are these thoughts saying? He says, you're not going to make it. There's no hope. Give up on your marriage. Give up on God. And I could see that this poor guy was truly tormented by these thoughts. And I asked him, do you know where those thoughts might be coming from? And he says, well, aren't those just my thoughts? And again, I taught him some of the truths that we're going to be looking at today. And his life improved dramatically. Actually, I met him about a week later and he said, what you told me has made such a difference in my life. Sometimes we forget, don't we, that we're in a spiritual battle and that, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but is against the rulers, the authorities that the Bible says, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil, right? We forget that. So without further ado, I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles to James chapter 3. And I understand you're in a series on James right now, so I think this fits in. I may be a few verses ahead of where Keith is at. He might be going back. When he gets back here, he might just jump back. But my understanding is Keith isn't going to be touching on this particular passage. James chapter 3, we're going to be reading verses 13 to 18. Okay, James 3, 13 to 18. I'll just give you a second to look that up. All right, let me read it for you as well. And I'm reading in the NIV. It goes like this. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such, quote, wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace will reap a harvest of righteousness. Okay? So our passage here this morning tells us, talks about how there are two kinds of wisdom that we can listen to, starting with a fake wisdom, quote wisdom, which sometimes seems right at the time. You know, as you're listening to it, it kind of, there's a certain a way in which it makes sense, but it really isn't wise. It really is not from heaven. So if we back up, our passage begins by saying, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Now, there's a chain of events here that the Apostle James is showing us, right? I mean, James introduces this topic by saying, hey, everybody, let's all live a good life. A life that is created by what? By deeds, little deeds done in humility, what you might call humble deeds. And if you put enough of those humble, the humble behavior, the humble deeds comes from somewhere. The Bible calls it wisdom, okay? And so if you turn things around, James says, look, there's a real wisdom that comes from God. And the result of that wisdom is humble deeds. When you put enough of those humble deeds together, they create overall a good life. And so if you want to live a good life, where does it begin? It begins with wisdom. But what is wisdom? And more importantly, where does wisdom come from, right? Well, James is about to tell us where real wisdom does not come from, okay? That's a good starting point. He says, if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. So if you take a look at this closely, let's drill into the word harbor there. What is a harbor? What does it mean to harbor something, right? A few years ago, my son Ethan and I, we went out fishing in Lake Ontario, and we went with this guy named Mo, and Ethan pulled in this beauty right there. Now, he's a lot younger in that picture. He's 17 now. He would hate me showing you that picture, him with braces. But anyway, I don't know if you can tell this, but we were out in open water. Like, we were in the middle of Lake Ontario, okay, when we caught that. The water was calm at the time, but the wind came up quite quickly on us. We didn't quite expect it at that time. And then rain began to fall almost like this, you know. And I was so glad that by that time, we were beginning to make our way into the safe harbor in Hamilton. A harbor, as you all know, is a safe place for boats to go. It's out of the wind. It's a place where boats can tie up and be safe, okay? So James is saying here, sometimes we create a safe harbor for the wrong kinds of thoughts, right? So bitter envy, selfish ambition, these are thoughts and attitudes. And we say, come on in. And we let them tie up. We embrace them. We affirm them. We think about those things. We let them tie up in our minds, so to speak. Let me give you an example of how this happens, okay? So take bitter envy as an example. How many times have you been, you know, talking with a spouse or with a friend or a coworker, and the thought will come to mind something like this: this isn't fair. How come they get that and I don't? Life stinks, you know, like just a thought like that. Bitter envy. What are you doing? You're comparing yourself to somebody else, and you don't look so good in your own eyes, and you begin to put yourself down as you put them up. Bitter envy, it can really ruin your life. A friend of mine used to have a beautiful little cottage in a Christian camp, and he loved this place, and he would go there every summer. But one year he came back from camp, and he was a bitter man. Something switched in his heart. And he said to me, all my friends now at the camp have nice boats and trucks. And I can't afford that stuff. And it just makes me angry. I can't enjoy the camp. Shortly after that, he sold the place he loved, because he couldn't handle looking at other people having nice stuff. Has that ever happened to you? You know, like every day, okay? Or let me ask you, What are you doing with those thoughts and those feelings? Are you welcoming them, creating a safe harbor for them in your heart? Or are you rejecting those thoughts of bitter envy in Jesus' name, sending them back into the deep abyss where they came from? See? Are you welcoming those thoughts or rejecting them in the strength of Christ? So take selfish ambition now. Okay, so this is where you compare yourself to other people. Now they look bad compared to you. You know, how many times you've been talking to somebody and thought comes to mind, this person's a waste of my time. I wish this person wouldn't bother me right now, you know? Or maybe you're talking to your spouse about buying something that you really want, and you're annoyed because they don't want the same thing and they don't think you can afford it, and your selfishness just really rises up inside. Or you're discussing with a friend what you're going to do later on that night together, and something that you really want to do is something they don't want to do, and the thought comes to mind, they don't care about me. What a stupid idea. And selfish ambition begins to rise up in your heart. Again, what matters, friends, is not that you get those thoughts, because we all get them. What matters is, what do you do with that thought when it comes to mind? Are you creating a safe harbor for those kind of things? And we could talk about all kinds of things. We could talk about worry, couldn't we? We could talk about all kinds of aspects of selfishness. The question is, are you welcoming and allowing certain negative thoughts to tie up in your mind, giving them harbor? The Apostle James tells us that those thoughts and those feelings have a source that we would be wise to pay attention to. See? They have an origin that is not just you. You know, so many times I've thought thoughts of envy or bitterness or selfishness or ambition, and I just assume those are my thoughts. And so I harbored those thoughts and those feelings because I didn't realize where they were coming from, see? And they caused me to act in very angry and selfish ways. But I never stopped to ask where those thoughts of putting myself down, bitter envy, or putting others down, selfish ambition, coming from. James says, such, quote, wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and he just calls it like it is, and demonic. The Bible says there are these three things that are working overtime to mess up your life. Three things that are all working in harmony with each other, so you don't have to parse them out and wonder where they're coming from. They are the world, your flesh, and the devil's demons. Now let's look at the last one there, the demons. Did you know that there are, in fact, angels and demons in this world all around us, all the time? Did you know there's a real personal devil behind the scenes, and his goal is to destroy your life? That's what he wants to do. I've talked to demons. They are real, I can assure you. I've heard from demons, and so have you. I've seen the damage demons can do. So let's not forget, we are in a spiritual war here. And if you're a Christian, the good news is that the devil and his demons have no power over you. You are saved by Christ, as we've been singing about. You have been united with Jesus because of his blood that was shed for you on the cross. This is the good news of the gospel. But when you believe the devil's lies, what you do is invite a foothold of the enemy that can only be broken by confessing that sin and renouncing those lies. But if the devil can get you to believe his lies, he can create a foothold, and that foothold can really ruin your life. He can influence you. He can tear apart your life. He can ruin your mental state. He can damage your relationships. He can keep you up at night. He can influence your dreams even. He can break up your marriage. The evil one has a very devastating plan for your life, but he cannot touch you except that you give him a foothold by believing his lies. So many Christians are sitting ducks because they don't understand what the scriptures clearly tell us about the scripture, about the devil and his demons. In fact, I've even had people who call themselves Christians declare to me that they don't believe that there is such a thing as a devil. One day I was talking to a guy and he says to me, "You don't really believe in the devil, do you?" You know? And we were just chatting like this, and he spoke of a derision in his tone. You know what I mean? "You don't really believe in the devil, do you? Like, are you not really a moron, are you?" You know, and he had a medieval mental image, I'm sure, of some, you know, like skinny guy in red tights with, you know, a pitchfork and horns and stuff. So I said, "Yeah, I sure do. Don't you?" He says, "No, I just think it's a fairy tale." I said, "Well, who do you think is orchestrating all the evil in the world?" I said, "You know, you read the newspapers just like me, you know, like ISIS beheading Christians and people molesting children and government corruption. I said, who do you think is, I don't know, orchestrating, making that all happen? He says, well, I think people are just doing that. I said, you think people are capable of doing all this evil without any help? He said, well, yeah, I guess I am saying that. And I said, wow, you have a low view of humanity, man. I mean, I have a low view of humanity too, but like that's really low. I said, like, I couldn't even trust anybody if I believe what you believe, you know? I believe the devil and his demons, like the Bible tells us, are real. Thousands of years of human history, and every day on the front page of your newspaper, we see his ugly influence. And I know even in my own life, I can tell you, there are lies that come into my mind, terrible things that come uninvited, sinful thoughts, angry thoughts, selfish thoughts, jealous thoughts that come uninvited to mind. And I'm sometimes in such a messed up state that I see the wisdom in those things. Sometimes I go, yeah, that sounds kind of right. And if I just naively assume that those are my thoughts and I give them a safe harbor and they stay there for a while, wow, will that ever mess me up, you know? The Bible says such, quote, wisdom does not come down from heaven but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. So I guess I'm just saying, friends, try to pay attention to your thoughts, okay? Because the result of thinking about those kind of things, James goes on to say, where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find, he says, here's the result, disorder and every evil practice. And it goes on to, you know, basically it all comes from what do you harbor in your mind. So James lays it out like this, friends. There's a fake wisdom that is not from heaven. And the thoughts you can recognize as bitter envy and selfish ambition, okay? Putting other people down and getting selfish, or putting yourself down and getting bitter, despair or pride. The source of those thoughts are the world, the flesh, and the demons that are working together to bring you down. And the result is disorder and evil deeds. So we've seen there are two kinds of wisdom here, okay? Two voices that are constantly speaking to you. There's a fake wisdom that is coming, not from heaven. It seems right, but really is foolish. But there's another kind. And James then goes on to say, friends, that there also is a wisdom that comes from heaven. Fortunately, in his epistle here, the Apostle James just, you know, doesn't say, well, here's what not to harbor in your heart. He goes on to say, here's what you should be thinking about. Here's what you should be dwelling on. Here's what you should be welcoming in your mind. James says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Here we move from defense to offense. Now here's what you should harbor, friends. James says, here's some good thoughts to welcome. James says, there's a wisdom from heaven that's falling on God's children like rain from the sky. And here's the reason why. Because Jesus died on the cross for your sins, removed the barrier between you and God, and then sent his Spirit to live within you. You know that, right? How many of you know the Holy Spirit is active? How many of you know the Holy Spirit is not mute? He speaks. Right? He spoke in the Old Testament, he spoke in the New Testament, and he speaks today. The Holy Spirit, like Jesus promised, will lead us into God's truth if we will listen, right? So maybe now you're saying, okay, I doubt that God would give me his thoughts. I doubt that God would, I don't know, share his wisdom with little old me, right? And that sounds very humble, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound humble? It's not humble, it's false humility. Because it's not true. Keep in mind something that James wrote at the beginning of his letter. I'll bet Pastor Keith told you about this. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, it says, you should what? Ask God. James says, God's wisdom is really easy to receive. All you got to do is ask for it if you're a Christian, okay? God is speaking all the time to you. Those verses wouldn't make sense if God's Spirit didn't bring words, thoughts, or even pictures to mind to lead your life in the right direction. These are thoughts that God will bring that can be discerned by the truth of God's word. But you know, it's funny how Christians can really still be blind to the wisdom that God wants to offer them every day. Every once in a while, I have somebody say to me something like, you know, Steve, I don't think God speaks to people anymore. And I reply, so you don't ask God for wisdom in the decisions that you make every day? And they say to me, oh yeah, no, I pray for wisdom. I said, well, has God ever answered your prayer for wisdom? And they said, well, yeah, of course, God has answered my prayer for wisdom. I said, how did he do that? I mean, what happened? And they describe how, you know, a thought came to their mind that just seemed very right, or there were options that were presented to them, and one of them just popped out and gave them peace. I said, who put that thought in your mind? I said, who made that course of action seem so reasonable to you? I said, is that because you're so smart? And they said, no. They say, maybe God did that. And I say, I thought you said God doesn't speak to you. What are you talking about? Of course God's speaking. It's hilarious that God is speaking to that person every day, bringing thoughts, words, even sometimes pictures to mind, guiding their heart and mind into truth, communicating his will. And they know that God is giving them wisdom, but they haven't put it together with the fact that God is speaking to them. See, because God has direct access to our minds, he doesn't have to use a big booming voice or, you know, write it in the sky like he did with Elijah, like he did with his son Jesus, like he did with Abraham. There's the still, small voice of a whisper presenting thoughts to our mind because, as Paul said to the Corinthians, we have, friends, the mind of Christ. As Jesus said to his disciples, my sheep hear my voice. Now, somebody reading James chapter 1 here might say, well, yeah, Steve, okay, I guess God still speaks to some people today, but not all people, because not me. I'm not good enough, you know. I mean, I just sinned 5 minutes ago. I'm not holy enough. I haven't been a Christian long enough for God to speak to me. I got to pass, you know, a few levels in order to get to that holy level. But what does the scripture say here? He gives generously to who? To all. Without finding any, what? Fault. Think about that. He gives his wisdom generously to everybody who's a Christian. That includes you, my friend. So being, you know, a sinful person, sinning 5 minutes ago, being an immature Christian doesn't stop you from hearing God. But is there something that might stop you from hearing God? Is there something that might keep you from hearing God's wisdom? Goes on to say, yeah, absolutely. James says, but when you ask for wisdom, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive any of this wisdom from the Lord. So if you say, you know, God wouldn't speak to little old me, you know, he wouldn't bless me with his thoughts and with his counsel, what should you expect to happen? If you say God doesn't speak anymore to people, he doesn't give his wisdom to anybody anymore, if you have that theology of cessationism, what should you expect? Zilch, right? That person, the Bible says, should not expect to hear anything. And I've seen it again and again. There's just something about that bad theology, that doubt, that stops up our ears. And if we don't expect that God would speak to us, if we don't believe that it's biblical for us to listen for words and thoughts and pictures for him to lead us into his wisdom, we won't get anything of wisdom back. If we believe the spirit in us is silent and mute and inactive, we shouldn't expect to receive wisdom that we desperately need. For, my friends, God speaks to those who expect him to speak. For anyone who lacks wisdom, those scriptures say, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But he who doubts that God would even speak to them should not expect to receive anything. And so let's agree with James here. There's a wisdom that is falling from heaven that we should harbor in our hearts. The enemy of our souls, if he wants to speak to us, how much more so the Lord of love? I've never heard a Christian say, the devil never tries to talk to me. He'll never tempt me. He'll never put thoughts in my mind. I've never heard a Christian say that. We all know what that's like, don't we? And yet I've heard Christians say, well, but no, God doesn't want to talk to me. That doesn't make any sense. He died for you. He loves you. He gave you his spirit. Now, you may be wondering, how can we discern between the voice of the enemy and the voice of our Lord. And actually, it's pretty easy. Getting back to the main text there in chapter 3, James says there's the wisdom that's falling from heaven and lighting upon our minds. And first of all, he says, it is going to be pure. So that thought of lust or sexual temptation, is that from God? No. Easy, right? Is that hard? Don't dial into those thoughts that are impure. Dial into those thoughts that are pure. You see how easy that is? James says the wisdom that falls from heaven is peace-loving. So you're having a discussion with your spouse, and a thought comes to your mind that you know you can say something that'll push their buttons, and it'll inflame the argument, and it'll leave a stinger inside. Is that the wisdom that comes from heaven? No. That's earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. It leads to disorder and evil deeds. Don't go there. But the thought that says, hey, you know, maybe I should, I don't know, admit my part in the problem. Where's that coming from? It's coming from heaven. Because first of all, that's not the way you think. We know that. That's not the way I think. I'm always trying to stick up for myself. So when the thought comes to mind, you should admit your part in the problem. You can say pretty safely, that's from Jesus. Go with that. Because the wisdom that comes from heaven is peace-loving. Do you see how simple this is? Not rocket science. James says the wisdom that is constantly falling from heaven, all you have to do is ask for it, is considerate. That thought of selfishness, I need this, you know? That's not the wisdom from God. You can discern that. It's inspired from the enemy who's exploiting the weakness of your flesh, wanting to take you down. The wisdom from heaven says, what does this person need? How can I meet their needs in this moment? It's considerate. It thinks of others. Where are those rebellious thoughts coming from that say, I'm not going to take this anymore? That stupid boss of mine, you know? Where do you get the urge to gossip about your foreman behind their back? Where does the urge come to slander your boss? Where does the desire to come to tear down those who are in authority above us? Certainly, it's not the wisdom that comes from heaven. For James says the wisdom from heaven is submissive. Apply that to the things you tweet right there, you know. Wouldn't that be amazing? You wouldn't have much to say. Where does the thought come that says, you know, that jerk, I hope he gets what's coming to him, you know? Where do we get that desire to judge others? Where do we get that desire that inwardly celebrates when other people go down? You know what I mean? We don't let anybody know that, but when we read about it, we hear about somebody's failure. Oh, I just love that. That feels good. That is not the wisdom that comes from heaven, because the wisdom that comes from heaven is full of mercy. So where does the thought come that you say to yourself, this person is broken just like me. Maybe I shouldn't judge them too harshly. Maybe that's not just your thought. When you get that thought, you kind of like to pat yourself on the back, don't you? You like to think, how merciful am I? I'm so holy. Look at me go. Godly man. Maybe it's not you. Maybe you shouldn't pat yourself on the back so much. Maybe it's the wisdom that comes from heaven, my friend. Harbor that in your heart. Welcome that thought. It's the wisdom that's falling from heaven. James goes on to say the wisdom that comes from heaven is impartial and sincere. I could unpack those words too, but we don't have time. You get the picture. It's not rocket science. It's not brain surgery. It isn't easy to obey. I understand that. The choice to obey is not easy, but this is simple to understand. The difference is stark. My friends, there are two voices that are speaking to you all the time. Wisdom that's real and a false wisdom. One of them shouts and the other whispers. There's a wisdom that is coming to your mind that you can harbor to your own detriment. It's not truly wisdom, but thoughts that are characterized by things like bitter envy and selfish ambition. And the source of those things is the world, the flesh, and even the devil and his demons. And the result is disorder that leads to evil deeds. But that's not just the full picture. The voice of the enemy, yes, is loud, but the voice of the Lord is a whisper. And in the quietness of your heart, you hear and can discern a wisdom that falls from heaven, that lines up with the scriptures. Ask God, give me this wisdom, and then believe that God would actually speak to someone like you. Don't worry about hearing wrong, for the wisdom that comes from heaven is easy to recognize. It's pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. At the end of the text today, James says, here's the result of dialing into God's wisdom, harboring it in your heart. It says, peacemakers who sow in peace will reap a harvest of righteousness. Where there was once disorder, now there will be peace. Where there was once evil, now there's a harvest of righteousness. And by the way, the word harvest is used intentionally there. It's a farming illustration because the farmer sowed seeds and he waits for something to grow. This isn't something that happens overnight. If it's been your habit to harbor the wrong kinds of thoughts, it's going to take a while for you to reap the harvest of righteousness, but keep at it. The harvest will come eventually. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. So once again, James lays this out for us. There's a wisdom that's not from heaven, but then again, there is a wisdom that really is from God. You can believe it. You can trust this. You can listen to it. Harbor these in your heart. Thoughts that are pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. The source is heaven. The result is peace and a harvest of righteousness. This week, when a thought comes to your mind that is bitter envy or selfish ambition, don't freak out. I hope you'll recognize it for what it is. Earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Take every thought captive, as Paul said to the Corinthians, and give that thought to Jesus. Just say, Lord Jesus, I don't want to think this way. It's selfish. It's envious. I give it to you. Take it. In Jesus' name. Now, if the thought comes back, you can assume that there's a demonic attack happening. Because if you're a Christian and you give a thought to Jesus, it should stay with him. But if it comes back, then you can assume I'm in a demonic attack. Don't freak out. Just say out loud, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave my presence. God's word tells me, and I always love to use God's word. God's word tells me to think about good things, to think about those things that are pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy. The word of God is like the sword of the Spirit. It puts the enemy on defense. Just memorize this text and use the sword of the Spirit to take down the enemy who's seeking to ruin your life. In conclusion, Henry Blackaby, the author of the Bible study Experiencing God, said this: the world is abuzz with voices all clamoring for your response. This is a dangerous environment for someone who is incapable of distinguishing between God's voice and the competing voices of self, that is the flesh, we could say, Satan, of course the demonic, and the world. Learning to unmistakably recognize God's voice is too critical a matter to neglect. Take time to evaluate how well you recognize when God is speaking. Settle it once and for all that above everything else, you'll come to know clearly when God is speaking to you. Well said, my friends. The world is abuzz with so many voices clamoring for your response. What a dangerous environment for those who cannot discern between the wisdom that is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic, and the wisdom that's falling from heaven. My friends, settle once and for all that above everything else, you will come to know clearly when God is speaking to you. Would you please stand and let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you've given us in your word such promise that our relationship with you is a true relationship, a relationship, Lord, that is more wonderful than any other. And we know, Lord, that a key part of any relationship is clear communication. We pray, Father, that we would have the faith, the trust, the belief, Lord, to know that when we ask you for wisdom, that you will lead our hearts into your truth. Help us, Father, to know and to discern with our Christian friends how it is that you want us to live, that we might experience more and more your goodness. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.